Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. For sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. I would like to talk to you today about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. There's so much turmoil today in the world that we tend to begin to look at things that are happening around us. But before I begin this message, I'm going to dismiss our kids to go with Ramona to their special service. And you know that Ramona, now don't any of you get up and go out there, because she's got... She does a good job with the kids, but that's all right. One of these days, she's good at teaching them, but one of these days we'll let her teach all of us up here, okay? But I'm going to talk about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. I would like for us just to invite, and I believe the Holy Spirit has already come here today, but I want to acknowledge His presence as I bring the message. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Jesus, that when You went away, You said it is expedient that I go away. It's necessary. Necessary. I will send the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so today, I thank You that Your anointing is here, and we receive that anointing. I pray that You will anoint my lips to speak Your words and anoint our hearts to receive and our minds to understand. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. With the turmoil that's going on in the world today, we tend to focus on the problems and wonder what the future holds. But you know, for us that know Jesus, we know what the future holds. We may not know the immediate, but we know that Jesus, God, still has a plan. And we know that, like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in this wonderful face, that song that Ramona sang, and then the things of earth will grow strangely dim. They are not so important as we look to that eternal hope that we have. As we fix our eyes on Jesus rather than the problems. Our problems do not seem so threatening. They don't seem important. We don't become so stressed. Somebody said, I don't understand. Recently this week I heard someone say, I don't understand why I have such anxiety, and I just feel so stressed about things that are happening. Well, as we turn our eyes on Jesus, those things tend to dim. They don't seem important because we see beyond that. I think about in Proverbs, he said, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. The writer of Proverbs said, look straight ahead and fix your gaze upon directly before you. I think about I understand that they put blinders on horses when they have a special project, something they have to perform, so that they cannot see what is over here or what is over there because their eyesight, they have eyes that can see at the side. But they put the blinders on because they want them to focus on what they want them to do. If they're running a race, focus on the race. See only what's in front of you. And we need to do the same. We need blinders on our spiritual eyes so that we focus on what is in ahead of us and not everything that's going on around us. If the horse is, they also put a different kind of blinder on to protect the horse's eyes from some kind of insects that may cause damage. And so we too, as we look at Jesus, we have this protection against the enemy's onslaughts against us. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, I don't believe he focused on the lions, do you? Because he had already focused on the Lord during the night and in a prayer meeting that he had, looking toward Jerusalem and acknowledging he was looking toward the Lord where his place is. And he already knew the victory. He knew where his strength would come from. He did not look at the problems around, but he fixed his eyes upon God. And King Darius came in there and he said, Daniel, are you okay? And he said, oh, live forever, King. In other words, don't worry about a thing. He said, the Lord has come and he's shut the mouths of the lions. And so it is that when we focus on him, he takes care of the problems that are around us. We don't have to worry about those. I'm not saying that we go on and don't worry about anything or don't think about anything. When we focus on Jesus, then we don't worry about those things. In Psalm 119th chapter, verse 37, David said, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. How many things that we look at and we are misdirected by that are just worthless? They are worthless in respect. Now, Ramona told you the testimony about how that she lost that day's wages. She did not receive pay. She was looking forward to that money that she needed, and yet that fell through. But God had wages that were far greater. He had something else in store. So we look at things in the natural, but he has a spiritual blessing for us. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Paul, or the writer there, wrote, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then he goes on, how do we do this? How do we do what he has told us we need to do? He said, looking, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author, the originator of our faith, and the finisher, perfecter of our faith. He's the one who began it. He did the work in us, and he will perfect it. But we must look to him and keep our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One day, Peter and John in Acts tells us that they were going up to the temple. And they were there at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were entering the temple courts, going in. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look on us." Was he saying, "Pay attention to us"? He was saying, "Look at the Jesus within us. Look upon Jesus." Because the works that he did, Peter and John had assumed it because they had Jesus living in them. The same way as we go out in the world, we can be assured that we can say when we have Jesus living in us, "Look on me. Look at what I'm going to tell you. Pay attention. This focus on this and nothing else." And he didn't want him to focus on his physical problem that he couldn't walk. And so when he said, "Look on us," and the man gave them his attention, he expected to get something from them. Well, he did, but he got something from Jesus, from God. And Peter said, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." There are some people today that say, "Well, miracles are over. They no longer are happening." I'm here to tell you that the miracles are still possible. They happen today. And we can be assured that in the name of Jesus Christ, we can receive those that we look upon him, look to him. And Peter took him by the right hand and helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. I'm reminded of a story of a 16-year-old girl who was trying to make a living, trying to generate money. This was years ago when they could do this at the airport, selling apples. She had a table full of apples, and she was selling apples. And group of businessmen going to a meeting came rushing by, and as they rushed by, they bumped the table, and the apples went scattering all over the floor. And the girl was just overwhelmed, and she began to feel, and she was in tears because this was her livelihood. And one of the men said, he told the story, he said, "I thought I'm going to miss this meeting. We're late for the flight. That's why this happened. They were hurrying." But he stopped, and he said, "Well, regardless of what happens, I'm going to focus my attention on what Jesus wants me to do, what God would have me do." And so he reached down and he began to pick up the apples. The ones that were bruised, he set aside separately. And he picked them up and he helped the girl. And as he was doing it, he realized that the girl was blind. And she was feeling around, and so he picked them up. And as he was leaving, after he had them all picked up and everything, and he said, "Okay, they're all up here on the table." And she called after him, and she said, "Sir, are you Jesus?" Well, I'm going to tell you, of course, he took a look at himself, and he said, "We are Jesus. Acting, letting Jesus act through us, we can say to the world, look on what I have to offer. I have something the world cannot give you. Look here at what I'm going to give you." In Matthew, the 14th chapter, when Jesus, after he had fed the 5,000 there out on the hillside, it says that he immediately told his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. You know, there are times that we have to be alone, and I think this probably was a time when Jesus said, "I need to be alone." And he sent the disciples to go on. He had given and he had ministered to the people and performed miracles. And so the disciples went in the boat to the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was out in the middle of the sea and tossed by waves. There was a storm that came up. The wind was contrary, it says. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." Sometimes we see the storms of life and something coming against us, and we say, oh, it's a terrible thing has happened, and we presume the worst, and that's what they did. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, don't be afraid, it is I. And that's what he does for us. If we will just cry out to Jesus, he will say, it's okay, don't be afraid, there's nothing to fear, I'm here. And that's what Jesus did. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, it wasn't possible in the natural to walk on the water, but Peter said, let me come. And so Peter and Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, now see the word saw, because he took his eyes off Jesus, he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. When he had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the things going on around him, he began to sink. The same is true with us in our lives. When we get our eyes off Jesus, things begin to look terrible. And then we can cry out, Jesus, Lord, save me, help me. And Jesus comes to the rescue. And then in John, the 20th chapter, we read about Thomas, who was known as Didymus, or one of the twins. He was a twin. And he was one of the 12 disciples, but he was not with the disciples when Jesus came after his resurrection. He came and appeared to the disciples, and Thomas was not there. And so when they told him, we've seen the Lord, Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You see, he wanted to see in the natural. He wanted to see a physical sign that Jesus was alive. Well, a week later, when his disciples were in the house again, Jesus and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, even though the doors were locked, he came through the walls or through the doors and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes into your midst, when he's in your house, there is a peace. He stills the storms of life. There's a peace. I think it's interesting that my young grandson, when he came to my house, and this is Vince's son that I hadn't seen since he was about 3 years old, and now 25. And he came in and he said, wow, there's such a peace in this house, a peace. There is a peace where Jesus is recognized, where he is Lord, there's a peace. And that's what I want my house. It's not all the frills of the world, but it's the peace of God is what we want. And so he said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, you see, he knew what Thomas said. He said, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, I recognize you as Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you've seen me in the physical, the natural, you have believed. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That belongs to you and to me. Blessed are we who have not physically seen those nail prints, who have not felt them. We know, we see it by eyes of the Spirit, and we believe. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, he said, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. We fix our spiritual eyes on what we cannot see. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We see in the realm of the eternal. There's coming a day that we will reign with Christ. We know that, sometimes I can't understand why people say, oh, I can't believe in God. I don't believe in it. And yet they see that death is imminent. One thing It's appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. They know it's coming, and yet they say, oh, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't believe it. There's a God. I heard Joshua talking to someone on the phone today, and he said, I just don't have enough faith to believe there's not a God. I don't either. It's foolishness. It's not. But some people are like that. But we focus on what is eternal. In Job, the 31st chapter, he was talking about how he would focus his eyes. This is way before Abraham, I understand. And Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. There are a lot of people who cannot control what their eyes see. They look with lust at something they should not look at. And then I think about years ago I was working. This is when Ramona was 2 years old. I worked at a food brokerage company. There was a man there that worked with me, and he was kind of flirty. He'd always go through and flirt. And one day he came through, and he was kind of looking at me, and I didn't like the way. And anyway, I says, there's no sin in just looking and thinking. There's sin in looking and thinking. You know, he was looking with lustful eyes. And interestingly, I ignored him, but interestingly, about two weeks after that, this man was in his 30s, and he dropped dead of a heart attack. Well, you know, I'd be careful at what I let my eyes focus on. I'm not saying it happened because of that, but I thought it was interesting. He'd made that comment. There's no harm in looking and just thinking. There is harm in what you think when you look. Keep your eyes focused on that which is eternal and that which is pure. Job said, I don't want to look on anything that is impure. And in Psalms, David said, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I don't want anything that's vile to take my attention or my focus. We have people today that are looking at on the, I don't know, the internet, and there are people that are over, I hear reports of the things that people are watching that is overwhelming. It takes the lives of our children. Just children watching pornography. Adults, old people, young people. This is an attack of Satan to destroy our nation and our world. Because when we get our eyes on things that are vile, it corrupts and it deteriorates. It kills the spirit. And so he went on to say, he said, my eyes, in the 25th chapter of Psalms, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. That's the way we are released from the temptations, the snares, is to keep our eyes upon Jesus, our focus. And I think about it, how do we focus on him? By his word. He is the living word. He is the word. It tells us what we are to do. And then he said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Instead of listening to things that are undermining and things that are of a sinful nature, whatever they are, we need to focus and listen to the word of God. Because the word of God, he said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The reason I've hidden it there, so I will not sin against you, God. I don't want to offend you. And then he said, open my eyes. In the 18th verse, he said, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. God's law has wonderful promises for us if we will just listen and focus upon them. And then he went on in the 119th chapter, 82nd verse, and 105, he said, my eyes fail looking for your promise. You know, I look for your promise. My eyes can just, they can't continue looking if I do not see that. And then he said, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Oh God, help us to focus our eyes upon Jesus, to focus our attention, our affection upon him. I remember Bobby reminded me today of how my husband said, you know, if there's any more of the light of God that comes into my life, any more of his presence, This body cannot contain it. There comes a time when we will be transformed, and this body will take on a new body. We will no longer be in the flesh. So we need to avoid Satan's snare by keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus. We can avoid those snares if we focus on the Word of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He said, I pray that you will focus on this so that you understand the hope that you have when we recognize, we get our eyes off of the things of the world and we get our eyes on Jesus. We know the hope that we have and that what God has prepared for us. He says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It is interesting when you hear, and we hear these testimonies of people who have died and been dead maybe for 45 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, and their experiences as they go into the presence of God. And I've heard some that were not prepared, and they had a taste of hell. But, you know, when they are in the presence of God, they say, the eye, you cannot describe what you see. The colors are such that we've never seen them here on earth. They say the ear, the sounds of music, of glory, is greater than we've ever heard here on earth. And we cannot even comprehend the things God has prepared for us. I think about it sometimes, and I think, I wonder, I believe, I know with all of my heart that my husband is experiencing that now. I believe that there are others of loved ones of ours that are experiencing that. And if we were to invite them, say, come back, they would not come back. I remember a woman who was our choir director years ago, and she was giving birth to her son, and during that, she died. The doctor says, we've lost her. And she said, I was floating. I was above my body, watching them work on me and trying to revive me. And she said, and then Jesus took my hand, and he began to lead me. And she said, and she talked about the path and the beauty of the path she was walking along the river. And she said, it was so glorious. And he stopped and he said, I can take you across or you can go back to your son. She said, I did not want to go back. I had a baby there. And then he said, your son needs you. And do you want to go back? She said, it was a hard decision. I did not. But she said, I will never fear death anymore. Never. She said, it was the most glorious experience. And she had not even crossed over into the glory that is waiting for us. The Bible tells us that there's coming a day when every eye will see Jesus. I want to look at him now, don't you? It says that in Revelation 1:7, look, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And you may say, well, that's those who pierced him physically. No, we pierce him through and through when we sin. We pierce him afresh, even those who pierced him. Jesus will be, I heard a man say, Jesus will be your holy terror or your blessed hope, whichever you choose. It will be holy terror to you when he comes or your blessed hope. Jesus is our hope when we trust in him. Dottie Rambo wrote a song that I thought was very insightful. It says, the sky shall unfold, and you may have heard it, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him. Then face to face, we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. The angel will sound the shout of his coming, The sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And those remaining shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we shall behold him then face to face. We shall behold him. I cannot wait for that day to look and to say, I will behold him. But I want to see him. I had a vision one time, and Jesus was there and he came, but I could not look at his face because my body could not contain the glory and the presence and the aura around him. I could not look, but there's coming a day when I shall behold him. I will look and I will know him, my Savior. You will know him, the one who died for you. And so I think about that. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. He whispers, draw closer to me. That song says, draw closer to me, he says, and he's calling us. Look at me. Come close to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. And I pray, oh Lord, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I want to be willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I want to do. I want to be more like him. And the only way I can do that is to look into the Word of God, see Jesus there portrayed, and see him, what he's like. And then I will become more like him. As I look at him in his Word, I will become more like him. Amen. Let's focus our attention, our affection upon him, not on the things that are happening today. We can get so carried away. I know that we have some pretty awful things that are happening in the world, and we can get carried away and say, what in the world are we going to do? What is it our children have to look forward to? And we can look at, I'll tell you what we have to look forward to. There's coming a day when we shall see him face to face. And if we are prepared, if he lives within us, we will live with him eternally. Amen. If you are watching this telecast and you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, I encourage you to do that. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. Look full in his glory and his grace. The things of earth will grow dim when you consider and look at him. The things that seemed important will not be important at all anymore. I'm not saying that your family and your friends won't be important. They will be even more precious to you than before. But the things that are things that cause people to fail and that people commit suicide, they say, I can't face it. Jesus has what we have, what we need, and we can face everything if you have him in your life. I encourage you to make him the Lord of your life. Just pray this prayer with me today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be led and brought by your Holy Spirit into your presence. Thank you that you have died on the cross to take away our sins. Thank you, Lord, that I recognize that I am a sinner, but you have redeemed me. By your blood, you wash away every sin. Cleanse me from every sin, every unrighteousness, I pray. Let me live eternally in your presence. I want to see you face to face someday in your glory and your grace. I don't want to be shunned. I don't want to turn away, but I want to see you in all of your glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church. May you have a blessed week. Okay. At least I think it worked today, recorded. I know that it is important that there are people who watch it on Facebook that I'm not aware they watch it, and then I get a message and they say, oh yes, I've been watching you, we watch it every week. And so it's important that we send the message out. And so I'm very, very glad that we can do that. And so last week it didn't work, but but today it was working. I know that we have much to pray about. There are several that are not here today, and we need to pray for them, continue to pray for those that have made their needs known. I'm so thankful that God knows what we have need of. Thankful that He cares about us. He said that when He said, cast every care upon me because I care for you. And He does. So is there anything that anyone would like to add? Anybody have something you'd like to say this morning before we're dismissed? Okay. Yes, Bob.
As our sister was sharing this morning, I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart. I just want to share this with you, and you can take it in. But I felt that He was saying to prepare our hearts to seek Him while the time is available
yes.
to do now before the evil that's coming upon this country takes over. Just look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith.
Yes.
I will finish what I have started in you. But if you have not taken the time to prepare your hearts and examine yourself before me, how are you going to hold up when the evil comes and the adversary comes to strike at you? Will you fall? Without me, you will fail. I am your life. I am everything unto you. You need to look to
yes.
me, the author and finisher of your faith.
Yes.
I love you. I love you with an eternal love. And I will uplift you and keep you and carry you through anything that shall take place. For none can take your spirit out of mine and the Father's hand. Look to me, and I will establish you. I will make your path
yes.
secure, and
thank
I will
you,
lead
Jesus.
You forward. But if you take your eyes off me and place them on the world, what will you do? Where will you go? How will you succeed? You will not. You will fall. You will fail. You will go to the ground. And it will be impossible unless I am there by your side.
Yes.
To get back up and to repent
thank you,
and start
Jesus.
Fresh.
Thank
so
you.
Humble
thank
yourselves
you,
before me and fix your eyes on me. You've heard the word this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come unto me and be in my presence.
Yes.
And experience my peace and my joy that will establish you and keep you from anything that shall come against you.
Thank you. Yes, amen. That's right. We need to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. Now He's calling for us to draw near to Him and calling from that cross, reminding us the price He paid for us to have peace. He took that upon Himself. Amen. Okay.